The following is a North Carolina Baptist resource. For more, visit ncbaptist.org.
Well, hello, my name's Daniel. I'm an associate pastor at Peninsula Baptist Church. I've been at Peninsula for 23 years. We have started a program at, or not a program, an initiative, rather, at Peninsula Baptist Church. We're calling the Milestone Initiative. And our goal is to make the Milestone Initiative the DNA of our church. So that people can understand what it is when they see the logos, when they understand, they can understand what we're talking about when we are talking about the different things dealing with the milestones within our church, so that when they see a logo, they can say, hey, that is something that's coming my way. We have a mission statement at our church, a vision statement rather, that's live biblical truth, build solid families, and impact our community and world for Christ. And so my title is Associate Pastor of Faith at Home Ministries, and even though I have a very strong part in the living the biblical truth and impacting the culture, I focus on the building the solid family component of that. I've been a youth minister for over 30 years, and even though my title is Associate Pastor of Faith at Home Ministry, I'm still doing the youth at our church and loving every moment of it. I just don't play basketball as long as I used to, but still loving every bit of that. So what I want to do is today is I want to go over how Peninsula got to where it is now, what we've actually put into place that we're using, and it's still fairly young in what we're doing, and then I want to give you some practical tips maybe that you can take back and implement immediately wherever you serve, some things that you were probably already doing that sounds like what we're doing, we just put words on it and made it happen. So some of the things that I'm going to show you, we were already doing, we just fleshed it out so it would have more of a faith at home component rather than the church doing it. A good book that I would recommend to you on the onset of this is by Rob Reno. It's called Limited Church, Unlimited Kingdom. It talks a lot about how the church has usurped the power out of the parents' hands, and how that needs to be put back in the parents' hands when it comes to the spiritual development and growth of the children. Great book, really good read on there. There's some really strong chapters in there that speak right along in lines of what we do with our Faith at Home initiative that we're doing at Peninsula. And so I want to tell you a little bit about where we are, where we're going, how we got to where what we're doing, and then we'll open it up for questions. Again, there's other staff members here from Peninsula. If I leave anything out, guys, ladies and guys, you just say, hey, you forgot to tell them this part, and we'll go with it. So doing youth ministry, you heard the statistics, right? You heard the statistics that came out about how so many were leaving the faith after they graduated from high school. Depending on who you read, it was either 80%, 75%, 60%, you know, but my question is, what's the tipping point? What's the percentage that we have to say, hey, there's a problem? Because in my personal case, there was one particular youth that I thought was a strong youth in our ministry, went all the way through the ministry, 7th through 12th grade, freshman year. It wasn't junior year in college, it wasn't senior year in college, it was freshman year, just maybe a month out of my ministry, did not even look or act like a follower of Jesus Christ. And at that point, I literally had the white towel in my hand and was getting ready to throw it in. I thought, what is the point? What are we doing? If we can't have our strongest people go out there and actually stand up for Jesus when culture hits them, then what are we doing? And so I took a long, hard look at what we were doing in our ministry. And started learning a lot about my own pride, started learning a lot about who I was as a person, as a minister, started learning what we were doing as a church, what we weren't doing as a church. And so the challenge began. And in that low point in my ministry of thinking that I was considering leaving the ministry, God started ministering to my heart to show me what His ultimate plan really was. He said, you're where you need to be, you're just not doing it right. And so let me show you what it is. And so we don't really have a problem anymore convincing anyone that we need to put the faith, spiritual growth, power back in the parents' hands. We don't have an issue explaining that to anyone. We all, as church people, kind of get that. We understand that. We know the scripture text, and we're going to look at it. But the problem that we have is something that is Sunday is always coming, right? We know that we need to do this, but what ends up happening for us is we would say, hey, it's a great idea. We need to do this kind of stuff and everything. But, oh, yeah, this Sunday's Easter, so what are we going to do for Easter? And so we start focusing on the Sunday Easter service, and we do something fun for Easter or this next event or Lottie Moon or Annie Armstrong or all these things that were just constantly rolling in, and we never were doing anything, even though we knew in the back of our mind that we needed to be doing something to strengthen the parents and to come alongside them and equip them and give them tools. We weren't doing it. The scripture text that we all know out of Deuteronomy 6 says the four times that the family should be working with their kids in the morning when you rise, as you walk along the road, as you eat together, and as you lay down at night. The four times during the day that we as family members should be doing it. My family was doing that fairly well, but I was at a loss of how to teach the parents of the teenagers I was working with on what to do with it. And so along about that time, some of you may have been to it, there was a conference that came out called the D6 Conference. Anybody familiar with the D6 Conference? Okay, the D6 Conference was being held in Dallas. We flew a group out there and went to it and everything, and it answered almost every question we had about this is what you're supposed to do. Great news is 2018, the D6 Conference is going to be in Greensboro. I get no kickback for that. I'm just letting you know that it would be a great, great conference to go to. I think it's called d6family.org maybe, or d6family.com. You can go to it. I think they have group rates, things like that. So if you live near the Greensboro area, it'd be a great year to go check that out. But the interesting thing was we went to the D6 conference for about 3 years in a row and learned some phenomenal stuff about how to implement putting the power back into the hands of the parents. And about coming into the fifth year, I don't remember exactly, I went to my team and I said, hey, the D6 conference are these dates and everything, and thinking about going, what do you think about going? And my ministry coordinator looked at me and said, hey, you know, because she's got a mind of making a list and checking it off. She's a logistical planner, so she's thinking in terms, she goes, you know all those great things we've been learning over the years? We haven't done any of them. So why don't we take the money we would spend to go to D6 conference and actually go on a retreat and plan what we've learned over the last 3 years. I said, dang it, I wish I would have thought of that. But great, simple plan. So we did that. So we took our whole team away and we went to Ridgecrest and we sat around for several days and we put together what you're seeing here, about 2 years of work. Now, I do need to let you know that we took what we thought was the best of everything and made it fit Peninsula. So, you know, there's a few components that we wrote ourselves. There's a few components that we made up. But what you're seeing are the best of, so to speak, and how it would fit the things that we do. A great person to know is Brian Haynes. He's got two books. This is one that's actually kind of written for your membership. If you're thinking about going down that way, it's called The Legacy Path. It kind of tells the parents how to set a legacy path for their children, the components. The word milestones is used a lot through this book, so we did not coin milestones for this. Several other authors use the word milestones too, but every time I think of the word milestones, I think of Brian Haynes. He also wrote a book called Shift. And that's the one that you leaders would want to jump into and read. It's kind of how to shift the work of the church toward the family is what that's about. And then another one that we actually gave out to our membership and still give to some of our first-time guests is God's Grand Vision for the Home. And so that supports, you know, what we're doing. We want to set up front, this is what we feel. I honestly thought when we started this that I would get pushback, because if you work in ministry for very long, you get this sense, it's an untrue sense, but you get this sense that if you try to give work away, people say, isn't that what we're paying you for? And I honestly thought when I first presented this to the parents that they would say, isn't this what we're paying you for? But they loved it. They were like, really? Give us more. And I was like, wow, we can run with this. They're really soaking this up and enjoying it and everything. So we're talking about planning for the long game. And the reason I say that is because now that we've initiated it, we initiated it full-fledged initiated it back in May. So it's still very young at our church. I understand, and you'll see in just a few minutes when I explain to you how it unfolds, I understand that I will probably retire before the full benefit of what we've just put in place starts to really show up. Now, we're already seeing some benefit, and we're already getting some feedback from people, but I will probably retire before it runs its full course. And so that's why it's planning for the long game. It's helping us get beyond only planning for the next season, only planning for the next season. We're still able to do that, but now we have some components in place that helps us empower the parents that comes alongside them. So this is what I did. I found a video. I was trying to find one I'll just show it to you. This kind of shows what life is like for our families. This, if you won't recognize this highway because it's in Malaysia. But it was the only one I could find that kind of showed the going on and off of exits and the high speed pace that families are moving through life. And this is what we realized about our families. And we thought, well, we need to somehow figure out how to come along beside these families. So this is the way I explain it to our families. You're on life highway, moving along. You're doing everything you're supposed to be doing in life. When you start coming up to a milestone in your family, Peninsula Baptist Church is going to jump on the highway with you. We're going to merge into the highway with you, and we're going to roll down the window, and we're going to go, hey, there's a rest area right up there. Pull over and stop for just a few minutes, and let's talk. And then they will pull over, have coffee, we'll talk about that and everything, and then they'll jump back on the highway and go again. And that's kind of the way we sell it to our people, and that's the vision that we're giving them so that they would understand where we're going. So what you see here is what we call the milestone. We actually narrowed it down to 8 milestone initiatives that go along with different stages of life and family that we actually plug into. Some of you guys are already doing some of this stuff, and it'll be really easy for you just to tweak it a little bit and give the power to the parents. That's really what we did with some of the things. For instance, you may have what you call baby dedication. We tweaked it and called it parent dedication. But then we actually, if they're going to dedicate their child and dedicate themselves in front of the church, we've asked them, I like to say require, but you know how that works with people. We require you to come. And they're like, okay, whatever. But we ask them to come to a class prior to that dedication. And we walk them through a book I'm going to show you in just a minute that we pulled resources to and had printed and everything that matches everything. I think it's important if you want it to become your DNA of your church that you do things like this, that they see that it's here to stay. This is not just one of those, oh, this is a sermon series you're doing. How cute is that? No, this is here to stay. Part of our vision is to build solid families, and we're showing you what we're doing to build solid families. You're participating in these milestone events. We're not asking parents to memorize these milestone events. Remember, we're stepping into life alongside them and say, hey, did you know that you have a 15-year-old? Yes, did I? Okay, well, there's some tools we can give you to help you with that 15-year-old. We're going to have an event. In fact, this Friday night, we're doing the License to Drive event, and we're asking them to come to this event where we'll come alongside them and say, here's some things you can do to start passing the spiritual growth baton to your 15-year-old so that when they graduate, they've already developed habits in their life that keeps them going when they hit college. So basically, it's written on this sign here behind me in case you couldn't see it. Equipping families with life stage faith tools through intentional celebration and milestone events. That's always a fun exercise, right, to come up with that equipping word of what is it going to do? Well, we got a great equipping statement, but that really is the heartbeat behind what we're doing. We want to come alongside families, equip them, and encourage them to do the things that God has already empowered them to do anyway. It's just the busyness of life has gotten in the way. One thing I think is important for you to know in these milestone events, the way we approach it is that the first 6 of these milestone events actually pertain to the parents breathing spiritually into their children's lives. And so that's the target of it. We are equipping the parents. You're at this life stage. We're equipping you. Here's some things you need to think about, things you need to do. And then the actual last 2 are us breathing into the adults in our church. Why I wanted to point that out is we had just recently, we unveiled this in May. We went through, explained it all. And then we had a mother of recent graduates who had just graduated out, had gotten the young adult book, Okay, she had had the launch book where her son just graduated, and then she got the young adult book, and she said, there is nothing in there that says anything about what I'm supposed to do with my young adult. And we said, you're right, because he's a young adult now, and you were supposed to have already passed that spiritual growth baton to him. It's his turn now to step up and start serving in the church and working and maybe even going back and helping younger kids and ministering in that way. And so that's the difference in the way it works there. So what we did is we stepped into, and I want to give out to you so you can see, and you're welcome to take these with you. I'll just start some here. If I was with the youth, I would sling them out across the room, but because these are cardstock, I probably shouldn't do that. But this is just the overview of the milestones that we do at Peninsula. And this just gives a real quick what it is, why we do it. It's the 8 with a description on there. You can take that with you. This is all our wording. If you want to copy paste, knock yourself out. It's no problem with that. So I kind of want to go through and show you, this is the overview of what we're doing. Talk through some of them and show you the books and how the milestones actually work. If you noticed in your program that you got this morning, it was broken out home, church, world. And when they asked me to speak on this, they actually called me 3 or 4 times and said, we're confused. Does this belong in the home section or the church section? And I said, yes, it works for both. So wherever you put it, I'm happy with it. It doesn't matter to me because it is that kind of crossover of the church coming along beside the family and helping them champion what they're already doing. So if you see, the very first one is parent dedication. So you have a family in your church and they find out they're expecting a child. Then you start coming alongside them at that point, and you start talking to them. You say, hey, after your child's born, I want to let you know that we're going to have an event, a milestone event, called Parent Dedication. Want to get you on the page of that. We have gone through and actually calendared out and tried to put on the calendar when those are going to be so we can give people plenty of, you know, notice and everything. Well, my due date's not until, okay, well, after that sometime, you'll want to do a parent dedication. And this is what we do at the parent dedication thing. The whole goal of the milestone, and you hear this throughout all of the milestone events that we have, is to get the parents to think about launching them out at age 18. So you're getting them to think about the end. What do you want your child to be like when they're 18? We know you just want them to sleep all the way through the night right now. But character and spiritually and morally, how do you want them to turn out when they're 18? And when you put that kind of vision out in front of the parents, the wheels start turning. And then that vision sits in front of them as they're raising their child, either on their refrigerator or wherever it may be, and it's driving who they are as a family. I know one particular family who had a particular vision in mind, who had a little gymnast that was quite a phenomenal gymnast that could go a long ways. And when they realized what gymnastics was going to take, and they had a question, should we let this gymnast, you know, get up every Sunday morning and be involved in this? Should we do this and everything? It was a really, because cute as a button, probably could do real well in gymnastics, ultimately came down to, wait, our ultimate goal is for her to be spiritually mature and ready to roll when she's 18. So this helped in that decision. It's more important for her to be with us and have faith discussions with us than it is for her to do that. And in our modern day culture, we think, oh, what a loss. Could have been an Olympic gymnast and could have won gold medal and made a bunch of money and everything. Yeah, great. But would she have been still going to church? You know, you don't know that kind of thing. So with the end in mind, it helps you drive your mindset. Our family had what we called a family values mission statement. And we had it up on our mantle. And there was one time where one of my daughters was trying to make a really tough decision about something in life. And we just happened to be standing in front of the fire getting warm. And I just pointed at the mission statement and said, as long as it aligns with that, honey. I didn't have to say anything else. It was done. It was like, wow, that was so easy. Why was I stressing over that decision? You know, and so it was there. And that's where you start this early. As a youth pastor, I was thinking, gosh, I wish I could have told that senior this when they were in 9th grade. I wish I could have told that ninth grader this when they were in seventh grade. Probably I should have told the seventh grader this when they were in fifth grade. This helps avoid that kind of feeling because you are doing that. You are putting it on the calendar and practicing that. So just let me very quickly go through these books. I'll pass these around, but there are a few things on these. It's copyrighted material. So, I mean, if you take screenshots of them, stuff like that, I'm not going to like yell foul play. But I can't give these out to you yet. But we are working with Mark Smith in a way that where we can get this to where the copyright stuff is cleared. And when I say copyright, we have a subscription to Lake Point. Thank you very much. Lake Point Church, who actually does a lot of this stuff. And you pay the subscription to them, and they send you the material, and they literally say, take our name off of it and put your name on it and send it out there. And so a couple of these components that we have in our milestone events is that stuff. So we're in the process of looking and maybe rewriting some of that to make it to where you won't have to pay a subscription. You just call and say, hey, can we see what you got? And we can just send it to you. So that's what that's about. So here's the parent dedication book. And like I say, I'll pass it around so you can. I'm sorry?
Lake Point, Texas.
Yes, it is.
That does the home.
Yes, they do the home. A lot of the ideas that we have here in Milestones comes from some of the initiatives they did. One really big idea I'll show you in just a minute came from them. So basically we give this to the parent. When they come to the meeting, we say, welcome. Glad you have this little bundle of joy. We got childcare for you down there. You can actually breathe a minute. I usually start out the meeting by saying, hey, everybody, listen. Isn't that nice? And so we start out like that. We ask them, what are the characteristics do I want to see in my child when they're 18? They actually write it down. Now, again, they're writing it down at, 17 and a half years before they turn 18. They're writing that down of what they want to see, and they're getting them to think through it. Then we walk with them on how can I develop those characteristics? What is things that the parents can do in the home to make sure those characteristics are developed? How to pray over your child is in there so that every night they're going into the room and praying over them, whether they're awake or asleep, and talking about the building, the faith at home. So we're starting out early on that because we all recognize the fact that today's culture is if you want your child to be good in something, you subcontract it out to someone. And that carried over into the church. And what we're trying to do is say, no, you don't subcontract out the... We want to be the voice that's saying the same thing you've already said here at the church. And so that's the goal behind that. And so some scripture text that goes along with that. Then we ask the parents to write a blessing over their child, and we record that blessing. And when they walk up to the front of the church, that blessing that they've read over their child or prayer that they've prayed over their child is played out loud over the speaker as they're walking to the front with their little bundle of joy. It turns into a powerful, powerful testimony of what we're about of building. So I'm going to start this around here. I've got two of these, actually. I'm going to start that one that way and start this one the other way. And so that is the parent dedication. So let me, Jeff, if you don't mind starting that one around that way, we get going. All right, so when they turn age 18, they'll have gone through all the milestones, and I'm going to very quickly go over, and then I'm going to open the floor for questions in just a second. And when they turn 18, well, actually at parent dedication, we also give them this folder right here that says milestones on it. This is an accordion folder that they can stick on the shelf. This is one of those things that I probably won't see or hear the benefit until after retirement because we've just started it. But the goal is when they turn 18, they have a complete log of their faith journey that they took. That everything that they did over their 18 years of living at home and then into adulthood will be in here. Pictures of their baptism and those types of things. Little letters that were written. Little journal entries that they did about the mission trip they went on. Those things, like all that will be in there. It'll be their faith journey. Where I actually see this coming to really being powerful is when they have kids. And then suddenly they go back to this folder and go, wait a minute, I got to see, they'll still be Peninsula members, right? They're not going to move away. They're going to stay there. But they'll have this in their hand and they'll be able to pull from it and they'll be able to say, because isn't it fun, those of you who have children, when your kids go, hey, tell me about when you were this or when you were that and everything. And then you can weave into that conversation. Well, when I got baptized, here's a picture of me, and your hair is like this and everything. And they laugh about it, but it makes an impact on them. Hey, there's a real picture of you when you got baptized. The next milestone that we come alongside is the first day of school. significant, right? Because when the child is a preschooler, you can come and go as you please. They're not on a schedule. But if you're in public school, they are locked to that schedule. They're only free to do things when that school says they're free to do things. Now, it's not quite like that, but it feels like it. And so what we do is we say, here's the first day of school. We have a first day of school event. We invite our families to it. We say, you got a kid that's getting ready to start school this year. Come to the first day of school milestone event, and we're going to walk you through this book. And then we tell them the purpose behind it. We tell them what the goal is. We remind them of Deuteronomy 6, the scripture text that we had looked at. And then we go in and talk a little bit about, you're coming into a life change, a life stage to where your child's schedule is going to start getting demanding, and you don't need to let things get in the way. You see, when I was a kid, my parents literally took the calendar of the church and set it down, and when they looked at the calendar of the church, then we planned our calendar, right? Vice versa today, if they even look at the church calendar. We're on staff at the church and have trouble looking at the calendar, right? So we want to come alongside them and say, you think it was demanding when you had a preschooler. Now they're in elementary and they're going to have this, they're going to have that. You've already got what you want to see them become. You've got the vision of who they're going to be when they're 18 out there. But there's some other tools we need to put in your hand on how to make the decisions of allowing them to let them go to this event or that event. What do you do with sleepovers, those types of things, to be able to come alongside them. Writing the blessing is important for them to put it in there. I'll pass this one around as well. We'll start that there. Let you take a look at it. I just need to pull all these out so I stop having to dig them every time. So we'll do this. Hey, Jeff, I'll just hand this over to you, and every time we pass one that way, if you'll just dig it out, that'd be great. Yeah. So that's here's the first day of school. I did pull it out anyway. Perfect. The next one that you can't schedule, you can't put it on a time frame, is our faith commitment. And the faith commitment is basically when they pray to receive Christ. And we know it's different for every age. This one has been extremely powerful. Let me tell you what was driving this one. There were children. We would have a camp or VBS. Children would make a decision. They want to get baptized. And somewhere along the way, someone, either on staff or another adult or the parents, would say, I'm not really sure if that decision was real or not. And so we felt it's not right to baptize a child that didn't make a true statement. So we decided to have a class. We called it Splash Class. That's how it all started. We call it Splash Class, and they would come, and we would talk to them about what it meant to give your life to Christ. Did you do that? Give your testimony. But here's the powerful thing that we saw coming out of this. Because their parents are coming with them, the parents are sharing their testimony with their kids of, this is when I prayed to receive Christ. We've had a couple parents who didn't have a testimony of giving their life to Christ. And so they were challenged at that point too. And it opened up the door for us to be able to say, hey, you know, parenting's hard enough. Don't do it without Christ in your life. And so it just kind of opened it up. We call it faith commitment because we had teenagers that were doing the same thing, and we didn't want to tell them to come to Splash Class because it seemed a little childish, so we called it Plunge. So we had a book for Splash and a book for Plunge, and they said basically the same thing. Okay. But anyway, that's trying to meet them where they are, I suppose. So what we did was we started calling it faith commitment. And when they make that faith commitment, they come and they actually are sharing their faith commitment with their parents. One thing that we've just started initiating is we used to have them send in a baby picture or something. So when they're being baptized, the baby picture would pop up on the screen. And that was like a logistical nightmare for our administrators because they were like, okay, so-and-so hadn't sent in their picture. And so then you're like, okay, do we don't show any pictures because this one kid's not going to have a picture now? It turned into a nightmare. I felt bad. So what we decided through the brilliance of the team, I'm not sure who came up with it, said, why don't we take a picture of them actually being baptized, frame it the next week, and give it to them to put in their folder. And we're like, okay, that's another one of those wish I would have thought of it. But that's being a part of a team, right? So we have the faith commitment where they're actually going in. You know, you recognize the chasm here? So we're actually talking them through that. We actually put tape on the floor and say, all right, we want you to get from there to there. You can't touch between it. You know, we kind of like visually are getting them to go through. So we say, that's what it is without Christ, is getting across that. They're sitting around the table talking with their parents about their decision. Scripture text goes in. The Romans Road is printed right there. We're going through all of that with them. Because even though it's not 100%, it's like 99.9%, okay, that we are positive the ones we're baptizing have made a decision for Christ. Right? So the reason I say that is because we know that some can have all the right answers, and you can get a sense sometimes, but I don't know. I might could say 100%, but I just always leave a little bit of room for error. But anyway, I'll pass this around too. That's the faith commitment one. That's how that one runs. This is one of those that I wondered how it was going to go over. I was doing a... How many of you have been in ministry long enough to remember True Love Waits? Okay, awesome. You guys are like my peers. That's awesome. We did the True Love Waits, and we would always do True Love Waits because it was such a sticky subject. We would do it when they were in high school, right? Well, hey, thank you. Thank you. That's way too late. And so I remember having a conversation in a hallway with a dad, and he was saying, I don't think my child's, you know, old enough to go through that particular program. And I was thinking to myself, but honestly, I know how your child dresses, and your child really needs this. And so I was frustrated. And so we kept backing up, but we started looking at statistics. We started looking at, you know, when previous to development and previous to curiosity is when we need to equip the parents to have those conversations with them. And so one thing that my wife did was she took all of our girls out to a hotel, had an overnight in the hotel, then went out to eat somewhere fancy. She had the conversation with them about what it was all about, and then went somewhere fun the next day. A couple of them got their ears pierced. You know, it was a big kind of rites of passage type thing, but it was preparing for adolescence. What we have found with the milestone events is we're meeting the parents where they are, and they're starting to go, you know what, I do need to think about that because it's here now. And so they're coming. They're coming to say, okay, what are we supposed to say? And when we tell them, they're kind of like, well, that's kind of what I was thinking. And we're validating them with the God-given authority that they have in their lives already. Preparing for adolescence actually goes through. We've had guest speakers come in on preparing for adolescence from the local pregnancy center, talk to the parents. We've done it with the kids, without the kids. We've done it several different ways. But it's basically just going through equipping the parents on how to have a very significant conversation, because we know that our children are going to find out about the sex talks somewhere, and it should be from the parents first. Because when the plumb line is put in front of you first, you can tell when everything else is skewed. And we want the parents to be that plumb line of what's right and what's wrong. So when the world throws them something that's skewed, they can go, that's not right. That's not right at all. And so this equips the parents to be able to do that. So I'll pass that around for you to be able to see that. I already alluded to the license to drive, but I'll kind of go through what it is as well. Yes, the preparing for adolescence is our 5th and 6th grade. Am I right on that? 5th and 6th grade. It's when we're doing the preparing for adolescence. Some people say that's a little bit early, but really what we're doing is we're equipping the parents. We're giving them the statistics. Say that 5 times fast. We're giving them the numbers. There we go. Change the word completely. And we're saying now it's in your court. We're saying you probably need to talk with them now, but you know your child better than we do. You know, you're with them all the time. And so now that you know that, you've got some tools in your hand, you're driving down the road. Hey, mommy, what is such and such? You're not like, and wreck the car. You're kind of like, I kind of expected that. Let's talk about that. And you're able to be equipped for it and do right by them. License to drive. 15 and 16-year-olds. If you have a 15, 16-year-old in your house, we invite you to a license to drive milestone event. We're having ours this Friday night, where we're going to have the 15, 16-year-olds and their parents come. We're going to have a large room together where they're all, we're going to kind of give them some ideas about what spiritual growth is. Then we're going to split them off and we're going to let them talk. Just in smaller groups, we're going to have a leader, like I'll probably talk to the adults to talk to them about, here's how you pass the baton. And here's the resource, here's the tool, here's the thing that drives you. On the back, by the way, of all these books, we have the most recent resources that we are recommending that the parents, it's also listing the resources of where some of this stuff came from as well. So if you're wanting to know resources, you can flip that over and take a snapshot of the back, very back of the book too. You can get good resources on that. But anyway, with every one of them, it's a what's the goal? Why are we doing this? It is the same topic of what are you going to become when you're 18 is really what it's doing. But it's putting the spiritual growth in their hands at age 15 and 16 so that they start establishing their spiritual growth and their walk and their habit. So I think you're probably starting to get the concept of these. So I'm not going to spend too much time on them, but stop me if you have questions about them. I don't mind. Launch is one that I can speak to greatly because we just finished our launch milestone initiative with exception of two events. We've got a fellowship event and then we've got Graduate Recognition Sunday. Any of you guys have Graduate Recognition Sunday? So this kind of morphed from being just a Graduate Recognition Sunday to me taking a retreat with my graduates, telling them how to get ready for college. I actually used the Right Now study called College Ready. I did it on my own, kind of rewrote some of it, and just made it a weekend type study for them. This year, however, based on the leadership of two of our adults who caught the vision of this, said, can we meet monthly with the parents of graduates and have a Bible study together based on the College Ready stuff? And I said, that's a phenomenal idea. Let's do it. One of the best Bible studies I have ever been a part of. The parents were sad it was over. And this is what one of the parents said that brought it all home full circle for me. She said, I'm really sad this is over, but thank you for doing it. Because it was like we're traveling down life, just going really fast, and suddenly we got a graduate, and the church came along and said, hey, can you pull over and slow down for a minute and pause and think about your graduate? I was like, that's our verbiage. That's great. You got it right there. And a phenomenal, phenomenal event, tying into where they are, because they realize that no longer are they doing parent dedication. They're actually getting ready to launch their child off into the world, and we know what the world can do sometimes to them. So that's the launch thing there. You may have some questions on that as well. And this is where it switches gears, the young adult and legacy. One thing that I told my oldest daughter right before she graduated from high school is I said, hey, she said, you know, getting ready to graduate, what do you think about it? I can't remember how the conversation was going, but I left her with this. I said, you need to leave a legacy, not just a memory. And she took that to heart, and her and one of her friends started a Bible study that was 5 years ago that she's no longer a part of, but that Bible study is still meeting every Wednesday. She left a legacy. That's powerful. So the legacy doesn't mean you're coming to the end of your life and you're going to leave your estate to the church. Legacy means you're building something into people's lives. You're discipling, right? The young adult is how young adults can plug back into the church. So really what we're wanting to see happen is we're wanting to see, I go through these. I forgot to do that. I'm putting my contact information there. You can start writing it down if you want. What we're wanting to see is a full circle. So the family that came to me and said, hey, we don't see anything in there on how to minister to our kids. We're like, you're right, because now they get this book. It's their turn to start stepping into ministry and serving. Have now come back to us and said, you know what we think we'd like to do? We would like to come alongside families that have younger kids and just mentor them. I was like, that was our plan the whole time. We just haven't got to that point to say that yet, and you made it like it was your idea. Isn't it a beautiful thing when they come and it's their idea? They're going to really run with it. And so we're starting to see that come out. So I'm going to pass these around, the young adult. And like I said, I want to leave plenty of time for any of other Peninsula staff to speak into this of how you've seen it, or time for you to have questions about this as we talk through it, because I know this could be new to you. Maybe not. And then I'm going to, at the very end, tell you some things that you can do to get this started immediately. You don't have to have something. You don't have to have a banner like this to start doing this kind of stuff. It's just some minor tweaks in your mindset of how you're doing ministry is all it takes. And you'll see this stuff start to unfold before you. So what questions do you have before we go into the final application?
And you talked about how this was a kind of a three-year process that y'all been going to the D6 conference. And then all of a sudden, your leaders say, hey, why don't we begin to talk about how to put this into implication? As you think about these purposes, how do you begin to help your church and your ministry team transition to understanding that you need to be purpose-centered rather than activity-centered? If you don't see some of your team members catching that, that they still feel the pressure, that we've got to have these activities. We've always done this, we've always done that. Mm-hmm. And it might be a good thing, but it doesn't fit within one of these milestones. How do you help make that transition?
Well, for us, I'll tell you for us, and then I can give you some ideas on how to make that transition. For us, it was God working in our own hearts of desperation of seeing our kids hurting, seeing our families hurting. We made a decision quite a few years ago to take something off the schedule that had been on the schedule forever. I've been at that church for 23 years, and it was on the schedule before I came, and it was on the schedule for 10 years after I was there. And we made a decision corporately by the leadership of our senior pastor to let's float this idea of pulling this off the schedule. And our families said, thank you. Thank you so much. Then we knew we were onto something. And when we got such positive feedback for that, and we started saying, hey, we recognize you're busy. We know life's going along, you know, at a really break-your-neck pace. We recognize that. It was kind of a win-win. So God was working on that we knew it was a desperation. Parents knew it was a desperation as well. What was taken off? you're going to call me out on it, and you guys are going to go back and say, well, they got rid of that. Honestly, okay, this is what we recognized, that during the school year, our numbers for Wednesday night activities was just waning like crazy because they just wouldn't come to it. We tried meals. We tried everything, gift cards. We tried everything. We're going to have this. We're going to have that. And we finally decided that during the summer, we would have a week event, but during the school year, we would focus all of our programming onto Sunday. So we dropped our Wednesday night programming, thinking that we might get really major pushback. Now, there were a few of those who were of they grew up that way. It was traditional for them to have something like that. We didn't tell them they couldn't come to the church. The worship team was still rehearsing, so they actually continued to come, but they turned their meeting into just a prayer meeting, which was a win. Right? You've got people now in your church praying for the ministries that you're doing. So it was our Wednesday night programming. We completely pulled off the schedule, and our family said, thank you.
All age groups?
All age groups.
Now, we did have complete programming on Sunday evening, Awana and student ministry and all that.
Yeah.
But it took you time to get there.
Yep.
So you moved Wednesday to Sunday.
No, you're already doing Sunday.
You're already doing Sunday.
Yeah, so... yeah, we... How did we get there? This is Pastor Jackson. He's our senior pastor. Maybe he can speak to that a little bit. He's not being a bad guy and in the corner. That's just where he chose to sit. But thinking through how we got there, looking back on after being there for 23 years, it feels like to me it was almost an overnight transformation. Obviously, we know in church work nothing's overnight, but it was pretty quick. It was a pretty quick. It was obvious to people when we did it. But here's the key. We just didn't cancel something and not say, we're not doing anything. We just, in the mindset, moved it, is what we did. So on Sunday mornings, we do large group time. We call it Sunday Morning Live with our teenagers. And then our adults have Sunday school, and we have two worship services. On Sunday night, we have the youth small groups who are now, we flip the classes over. Now the youth are meeting in where the adult Sunday school classes are. 12 small groups of youth, and then Awana. And so we do that during the school year. But then when summer hits, this one will really blow your mind away. When the summer hits, we stop doing anything on Sunday evenings. We give Sunday evenings off, and we move something for children and youth to the midweek. And so, but what we were doing in that, back to your original question, is we were telling the families, we recognize it, we recognize the pain, but here's something new we want to implement in that and come alongside you. So
how did the older population of the church take that? Was that the prayer service?
Well, it was the prayer service, but believe it or not, it was a mixed age range that went to the prayer service, and we had very few that said we were messing up by doing that, because that older generation had children and grandchildren, and they saw their schedules, and you got it. But I will say this, youth pastor, associate pastor, senior pastor is the one that got all the phone calls. So he can speak to it a whole lot more than I would have, because I thought, great plan, let's run with it. And Monday morning, his phone was, busy. So What? Anything you want to add, say?
Because we've worked together so long, we understood how to approach it together, and God honored that. And the few that had concerns, we walked them through it, and they saw the big picture, and got on board.
Yeah, it's we didn't take it as, by the way, guys, here's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We took it as, here's something we want to try. Here's what we're hearing from our families. Are we wrong on this? Are we hearing the wrong thing? Or is this what we're hearing? Yeah, that's what you're hearing. Okay, well, we want to try something just for a season, see how it works. Because, you know, it's not like a death. I mean, you can always add Wednesday night back if it turns out to be just a terrible thing. Can we try this for a season? I think we might have tried it during a summer. I think that's where we started, because it was a natural transition time. We didn't, like, midstream in the middle of Awana say, don't come back next week. And so, you know, we stair-stepped into it. And so what I've learned in today's culture is less is way more. Less is way more. And just like I said to you, I thought that the parents might give pushback because, hey, you're supposed to be developing our teen spiritually. What are you doing giving us the tools? They weren't doing that at all. They were going, hallelujah, I knew I was doing something wrong. Give me that. Give me that. Give me more. Give me more. And they're coming to me and asking me questions. And you know what? A youth pastor loves it when a parent comes and asks, hey, can I have your opinion on how to do this, how to do that, and everything? I wasn't getting that a lot until we said, here, you have the tools. Now they're coming to you and saying, hey, how would you advise I do this or that? And so then I was more in a pastoral role, which I was supposed to be in to begin with.
I would say a side benefit of this that Daniel hasn't mentioned is, you know, the silo effects of ministries. You know, the children are doing this, the youth are doing this, kind of siloed from each other. This has helped us, I believe, get rid of that. Not totally, but help with that. Not having the silo effect of ministries and it all folding together. So it's been really good from that perspective.
So you have the whole staff knowing that parent dedication is coming, and everybody on staff for parent dedication has a piece of role to do to make that parent dedication milestone initiative happen. So everybody's got buy-in to it.
What are you guys doing to train parents to like lead family worship in the home?
That one is still working, but what we do at each initiative, starting at the parent dedication all the way up through launch, is we're equipping them and reminding them this is what you do. But we don't have a specific initiative where we say, come learn how to lead worship in your home. We haven't done that yet. But
you also tool them. We recently went to the Gospel Project curriculum, and we used that from birth to senior adults. And so that allows us to send out a weekly email with some discussion things that they can have, and everybody's just had their same lesson on Sunday. Everyone's just going to have the same script for the next Sunday. And so because we unified that, we can, our adult discipleship pastor works with Daniel to send something out to the families to say, you know, just read the scripture and discuss this around the dinner table with age-appropriate questions.
And that's been phenomenal. That's a phenomenal aspect from my perspective, too, in the church there is sitting at the table, and I've got a range of ages of kids, but now my questions at the lunchtime after church, instead of what did y'all learn today in preschool or whatever, is I'm excited because it's becoming, you know how we talked about such and such, and so it's pulling us in, and so it is actually equipping me to be the dad that leads spiritually for my kids. And here I am a pastor in a church, and it's hard for me to find, it seems like, time to do that at home, and now it's starting to come together.
Yeah, thanks for that reminder.
We use a curriculum for that in our church. That's why I was asking. Oh. I didn't know if you had something else.
What?
We use Generations of Grace. So it's a 3-year cycle through Scripture. And then we get all of our parents have a family devotional with 5 lessons per week. It takes about 10 minutes to do. And so we kind of train them on doing that.
That's good.
Have you had a conversation about how you're assimilating new families that are going to church and new believers into the milestones with kids? Have you thought about a way to allow for parent dedication for some older kids?
We actually do. We have some parents come to us and say, hey, my child is 8, but we've never done anything like this. Can we do it? Now, they've come through and talked. I don't know that we've actually, have we had families actually stand up there with, I know we've had some older ones talk to me about it. I don't know that they've actually all the way gone through up in front of the church yet, but they've come and talked to me about it, and they were implementing some things on that. So And then new families that come in, we have what's called a starting point class that they can go to. We're holding it once a quarter, once a month. And so, yeah, every 60 days we have a starting point class. Our connections pastor gets up on Sunday morning and says, hey, if you are interested in finding out more about Peninsula and what we're about and the Live, Build, Impact, come to the starting point class, and we go through that. And so the milestones is explained to them at that point of what we are. Again, trying to make the milestone part of our DNA rather than just a program of our church. Sorry, ladies first, and then we'll come back over.
When do you do your classes? Because, you know, families are busy and weekends are filled with sports. And then how do you fold that into?
So we started in May. We've had success with Sunday nights after church at 7. We've had some success with Sunday morning breakfast, Saturday morning breakfast. That one was a little less attended. And then this particular event, they're having this week is Friday night. And how many have we got signed up? I know you're helping with the
15 injuries so far.
Okay, so we've got
15-year-olds.
Yeah, 15 families, right, have signed up for this Friday night. So it's kind of hit or miss. We're still a learning curve. That's a great question because you have to know what's going on in the culture of where your church is and what nights seem to be free. I mean, I'd be willing to come out on a Monday night if I thought that they would show up for that. But we have a lot of success with Sundays, though, because, again, my pastor and I were talking when we were out in the hallway. One of the other classes he went to was talking about that the concept, the mindset for people today is they give you maybe 2 hours out of the month, and they feel like they've done you a great service because they showed up at your church for 2 hours out of that month. You know, the mindset has changed and everything. And so we are struggling with that. So you just have to, I say two things. One is, like the launch event we did, word of mouth, those adults are saying, hey, if they do anything else milestone, you need to go because it was phenomenal. So you need to make sure what you're providing is something they walk away and go, wow, I'm glad I went to that. It's not you're just having a meeting just to have a meeting. You're actually really equipping them with what they need. And then just trial and error. If you try it and one family comes, you're helping disciple that one family. But maybe the next time you do that particular event another time. So like I say, we're still on the learning curve for that one. Good question.
Do you guys have children and students that come that their parents either aren't really engaged in the church or their parents don't believe? How do you incorporate them into this and not leave them out?
So the children and youth that come that don't have parents come to the church, we tell them they're a lost cause. Well, I'm glad y'all laughed at that because for a second there was like a brief second of not laughing. Wow, that one scared me. It was a joke. So we have found that one of the best inroads to parents are the children. And so when we can reach out, if a child comes into our church just by legal, we have to have parent contact information. So when we're providing one of these events, We make sure that the print that goes out on it says, hey, come learn about your pre-adolescent. We've got a special guest speaker from this particular thing. They might only come to just that event, but we've rubbed elbows with them at that point. And they walk away going, okay, that was kind of okay, and they're starting to try it out. The ultimate goal, obviously, to win them, to have an opportunity to share the gospel with them so that they become the faith people they're supposed to be over their children. So great question. We do have that, but it's trying to lasso, trying to hook, trying to pull them in, making sure that the announcements go out way far ahead of time so they don't have the excuse of, well, I didn't, you know, you didn't tell me till the week before, you know, so making sure that they know about it.
How often do you do some of these classes? Obviously, parent dedication, you do them multiple times a year. But say your young adulthood class, or how often do you do them throughout the year? Some of them I could see like once a year, but some of them.
So Lisa over here in the corner, all the staff people sitting on the floor, sitting in the corner over here. She's my ministry coordinator, and we sat down and we actually scheduled out so we would have on the year. We went and did the whole year, and when we got finished, we had a milestone event every month, and I was like, oh no. Now we've got to plan these things. But it's turned out to not be that bad.
Yeah, really, I think most of them are once a year except faith commitment and parent dedication. And those are more like three times a year because we do faith commitment prior to baptism services. And, you know, we did one of our most recent successful faith commitment ones was at this the beginning of the fall. We had a lot of kids going to camp. We host a Windshake camp at our church, and we had lots and lots of decisions for Christ, so we were able to follow real close early in the fall before school started with faith commitment, and had a lot of great participation in that.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried it, and it worked fairly well. One event that we did on a Sunday morning was first day of school. During that Sunday school connect group time, we asked the parents of our rising kindergartners to not attend their connect class that Sunday and come to the first day of school event. And so it was very well attended.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, good question. Thanks. So practical things that you can do to start doing these. You've probably already, your wheels are already turning if it's something that you think you're interested in. You're already doing some of these events. You already have some type of baby recognition. Maybe for your church, it's the first church I served in, it was the nursery worker came around the corner with the new little baby and held it up, and everybody went, yay, and everything, and then went back, disappeared behind the door, went back into the nursery. And then you were like, was that your kid? Whose kid was that? But you're already doing some kind of a semblance of that already. What you want to do is just tweak your mindset of equipping the parents. That's all you got to do. Tweak your mindset of equipping the parents so that they become the champion of that child. And so we started looking at everything that we were doing as making the parent the spiritual champion of that child. I didn't lose any credibility over that. I didn't lose any workload. I didn't lose any respect from people. The parents actually thanked us for that and said, wow, thank you, because I feel like it was coming back in line with the way Scripture said it was supposed to be anyway, that the spiritual growth development is in the hands of the parents. And where it's a little sticky, I think, with your question is if the parents are not believers. But then we leverage the children to get to rub elbows with the parents so that we can have faith talks with them. What else? What else are you guys already doing? You're doing parent dedication. You're doing baptisms. I hope you're doing baptisms, right? If you're not, then you're at the right conference. So you're doing baptisms. Think in terms of maybe having the parents come before they get baptized to walk through the baptistry with the child and have those discussions. Now tell me about your story. Hey, Mom, tell me about your story. When you gave your life to Christ, you're having those things. You don't have to have hard print of something to be doing some of these things already. You're just talking to the parent, and then you're saying, hey, here's a great book. You might want to read this. Here's a book you can read each night with your child now that they've made a faith commitment. Help disciple them. So you're discipling the mom to go disciple their child, and suddenly the mom becomes God again in the child's eyes because they have quality time around spiritual things. Yes.
Mark was encouraging us about the idea of baptism, and so we have not really taken advantage of that opportunity as we should. And so instead of trying to record their testimony, I just asked them on a 3x5 card to write down some of their heroes of the faith. Who were the ones that helped model for them what it means to be a believer? And almost all of them either had one of their parents, if not both, and or their grandparents, and they had a little explanation why. And so as that young person came into the baptistry, we got a chance to share that card.
Yeah.
It was very powerful.
That's a powerful testimony. To everyone else watching, too. If you have a youth ministry, you have graduates. You're going to have some type of recognition for them, even if it's just in your youth ministry. It's not in the big church, so to speak, if you want to call it that. Invite the parents to come be a part of that. So when launch happens, what we're going to do is the parents, we will have given them a month in advance. We will have given them, we're gifting them a Bible. We give it to the parents. The parents take that Bible and write a letter of encouragement in the front of that Bible. They give it back to us. We wrap it for them. And then on graduation Sunday, we hand that to the parent and say, when they walk off the stage, just give them a hug, hand it to them, and we'll take a picture of you. And so then they take that Bible home, they open it up, and they have a letter right there from their parents. So it's little things like that. It's making the parent the champion is the mindset switch that I think we need to do. Awesome. Well, let me close this in prayer. Thank you for coming today.